Samozan. This week's parsha is Parsha Ekev. We have a beautiful pasuk. The Ochalto Visavata Uveirachto es Hashem Elokecha La'aretz HaToyva Asher Nasan Lach. There are only two blessings that are biblical. Only two brachas. The bracha of Birchas Hamozen and the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. These are the only two brachas that are midaraisa. And this week's parasha, we learn about the bracha of Birchas Hamozen, it is deraisa. I'll start with some stories, some very short stories. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arach, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. I'm holding on here, by the way, this sefer called Mayon HaBracha, the Fountain of Blessing. This sefer is a dumbed-down version of the sefer called the Zois HaBracha. The Zois HaBracha is probably the most authoritative sefer today on the Hilchos Brachos by Alexander Ari Simcha Mandelbaum. Okay, anyone who knows who he is? He lives in Yerushalayim, and he put out a sefer, very, very choshev sefer, that is cited in virtually every single sefer that someone ever wrote on Hilchos Brachos in contemporary times. It's called V'zois HaBracha. It is, like some say, it's like the Pesek Acharon on the laws of Brachos, all Brachos in general. And the Mechaber, if I'm not mistaken, is the Mechaber himself. Years later, very recently, this is from Tavshin Pei, he took his sefer and he condensed it into a much, much smaller sefer, organized and arranged in a very, very simple and easy format with nekudos and bottom lines, summaries, and sections and questions and answers. It's like I told you, basically the dumbed down version of his sefer of his sefer called the Mayon HaBracha, and it has been received in Klal Yisrael with open arms, and it's become really, and it's really, really, it's like just so straightforward. It is thorough. It is delicious. It's a delicious, delicious sefer called Mayon HaBracha. And of course, he has a whole section devoted to Birchas Hamazon. So I'm going to go through now a crash course, very quickly, on the basic halachas relating to Birchas Hamazon, Zimun, Mayim Achronim, everything revolves around Birchas Hamazon. Before we do that, let's just go over some stories. First thing we have to appreciate, and this always needs chizik, always a reminder, it says in the Torah, it says, "Call me shezohir bevirchas hamazon mizoynoisav mitzuyin loy bichovoid." There is no greater segula, bracha, whatever term you want to use, for parnasa bichovoid than carefully reciting birchas Hamazon. Something struck me this morning when I was preparing this morning, looking over the last moments I wanted to say, is that, you know, in this sefer, because he's an Israeli, and this sefer is also very much, I don't know, to market it for Ashkenaz, there are many differences in the laws of brachos between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Many, many differences. And come on, every single page, when he discusses things, he says, Sfardim do this, Ashkenazim do this. Sfardim are always more machmir. The Sfardim, the laws of Halil Hilchos Brachos, always much, much higher standards in the laws of Brachos by Sfardim than Ashkenazim. And it just like struck me, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but Sfardim, when they are wealthy, they're very wealthy. Okay? When they build shuls, they build shuls. I mean, when you see that Sfardim, you look at some of the homes in this neighborhood, the Sfardish homes, the neighborhoods, wow. When they succeed, they really succeed. And it just like thought to me, wow, maybe there's a correlation. Maybe, you know, Sfardim have very high standards in the laws of Brach. You see from the halacha, a sensitivity to the laws of Brach is a demand upon a person, a very strong a high standard. Is there a correlation that because their standards are so much higher that it's not a coincidence that we find that Sfardim, you can't say all. There's no such thing. There are some very wealthy Ashkenazim and there's some very poor Sephardim. But, you know, you get a certain sense that the Syrians, the Sephardim, somehow they know how to make money. Somehow the money comes in. Is it? Okay, but I'm not even talking about the nusach. I'm talking about halacha, if higher standards. And it also occurred to me, okay, that, you know, it's actually in America. I don't really know. I'm not really clear. But it's somehow I get the sense that America, the standard of living in America has gone down, let's say from 50 years ago. 50 years ago in America, there was the American dream. Everyone can own a home. Every single American citizen, every come to America, you can buy a home, and you go on summer vacation, and you only work 9 to 5, only and your wife can raise the children, doesn't have to go to, talking about in America, about the goyim. Today, you don't get that. Today, people, you know, you read the news, the average family has don't have a savings account, they live from paycheck to paycheck, both, everyone in the family has to work. You get the sense is that, you know, there are some super wealthy people, let's not kid ourselves, okay? I actually read recently that over the last 3 years, due to COVID, $4 trillion, you know what $4 trillion is? $4 trillion were transferred from the middle class to the super rich. COVID has caused an incredible shift of wealth.
How much was transferred to
the poor? The poor only get poorer. But from the middle class who had money in their savings account, $4 trillion of assets in the accounts of the savings accounts of the middle class over the last 2.5 years have been transferred to the savings accounts of the super, super rich.
The super rich
got a lot richer, and the middle class got a lot poorer by the ring of $4 trillion. Something is not right. If that statistic is true, something is really not right. But what am I trying to point out? I'm just trying to point out is I remember as a child watching television, and I remember watching television. They would always show on television families sitting together at the dining room table and saying grace. I remember on the Brady Bunch. Okay, what was the father's name on the Brady Bunch? Chvesnish, whatever. I remember watching as a little kid, okay, watching television. I'm not embarrassed to tell you. I used to watch television, a lot of television. And I remember watching these shows where it was not uncommon on television you would see the Rosh Habayis, Goyim. They would say grace. Today, I haven't watched television in a very long time. Okay, we have worse. We have YouTube, but no. I can't imagine there is such a thing today in America. First of all, a family in America, and a family that should sit down together at a table to eat, and if they would sit down to eat, they would say grace. They would say Berachas Hamazon. So in my little mind. If Chazal say, I'm talking over here, I'm talking about a Chazal, okay? Okay, the Goyim are the Goyim. But for some reason, I just want to bring out this point. It says in Shulchan Aruch, call me, not Shulchan, it's in the Torah, I don't know if it's more than Shulchan, it says in the Torah, call me, Shezohir bebirchas hamozoin, mizoinoisav mitsuyin loy bechavoid. Is that principle applied to Goyim also? I don't know, or not, maybe yeah, maybe not.
Why shouldn't they be thankful?
They should, yeah, they should. But I'm just telling you, this is a Chazal.
And,
it's not for nothing that America years ago there was prosperity. There still is prosperity. Nothing to belittle, but it's different. At least in my mind, the whole attitude of security, making a parnasa. I mean, how much you put in the bank? I remember my mother told me. I remember my mother said, you put money in the bank. You know, like my father, when he got married, he told me to rent an apartment was nothing. It wasn't even an issue. You go, you get married, and you get an apartment. How much was rent? It was a joke. It was a joke.
$50 a month.
It was like nothing. You get rent an apartment. You get married, you rent an apartment. Today, the rent an apartment, who's paying the rent? Wait, $3,000 a month? Where does the Chassan Kahal have that kind of money to go rent an apartment? Where does the Shver have that kind of money? It's like the cost of living today, it's like insane. And it's not just insane for us, it's insane for the goyim as well.
But it went up in our life. It used to be what? You needed to put away 25% of your monthly income for housing. Now it's over 50%.
Right, so I'm just saying is, what happened? And I'm just, in my mind, I'm remembering as a child watching the Brady Bunch and Mike Brady sitting around with his family and saying Birchas HaMazon. Okay, now he's a goy. Lahavdil Elis Alfi Avdolis on steroids. But that show reflected the culture of the country, of the goyim. It reflected the culture of the goyim. Okay. By the goyim, there's such a thing called Birchas HaMazon. Yes. And in those days, you put away money in the bank, you'll get 10% easy.
They didn't have grace there. They had grace before.
It's the same idea. I'm just saying, it's the same idea. It's the same idea.
But so, you can be Yotze benching, you're just saying thank you God for the food you just gave us.
Okay, so at least, so do people even do that? Not so posh. So I'm just trying to point out, Chazal know what they're talking about. Chazal say, before you run to Amuka, and before you run to the moon, to do all these bizarre segulos, this has been said over a million times by all the Gedolei Yisrael, charity starts at home. Is that the ultimate segula is to say Birchas HaMazon. And you write Sefer Farish, stories of Gedolei Yisrael that had no desire to eat bread. That wasn't their choice, but they bedafka went out of their way every day to eat a small piece of bread, not because they wanted to eat bread, it's because they wanted the opportunity to recite Birchas HaMazon. And it's very hard. It's a very, very hard avodah to really to put your mind to it and just to slow down, take a deep breath and concentrate for 5 minutes to recite with kavana Birchas HaMazon. He cites here a story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, his family testify that he never ever repeated words in davening. Baruch Hashem, he had no OCD. He said a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. Whatever he said, he never went and back and repeated with an obsession. Only once did they ever see him repeat something, and that was Noidelcha. They want some repeat Noidelcha, Noidelcha. I don't know exactly which words he repeated. Maybe just the words Noidelcha. And they asked him, "Why did you do that?"
Maybe he said Noidelcha and not Noidelcha.
So he said, "Because I felt that I didn't say it with kavana." And when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, if you don't say it with kavana, you got a problem. It's not a simple matter. Another interesting thing, which really I really like this interesting story. He quotes her. I don't know who this person is. Hagoyin Harav Shalom Yitzchak Mizrahi. Mizrahi related to you? I don't know who this person is. Harav Shalom Yitzchak Mizrahi Baal Shut Sheelus Uteshuvos Divrei Shalom. I don't know who this person is. He benched every day, so everyone he probably has in their home about at least 1,006 benchers. Why 1,006? I don't know. 1,000 benchers? None of the above. When he benched on a regular Shabbos afternoon, a regular Shabbos day, he only would bench out of a machzor shel Rosh Hashanah. Wow. Why? He wanted to, it should impress upon him the Yom HaDin. When you bench, this is serious stuff. Just like on the Yom HaDin, there's a pachad of din. He felt if he'll bench out of a Rosh Hashanah machzor, it will stimulate him to bench with more kavanah.
He had a special machzor because most machzors don't have benching.
Don't have benching? Rosh Hashanah? No, why would you say that? They think they do.
Sure.
The old machzorim don't have? Okay, so he must have had. And this is what it's, and I'm making this up right here. Hoya mivarech birchas hamazon mitoch machzor shel Rosh Hashanah. V'tamoy v'nimuko ima kedei sheyizkar b'kach es yoyim hadin ha'gadol v'hanura v'yivarech es birchas hamazon be'emo uv'yira. It's a very beautiful story. The Chazon Ish, the person was benching and he was motioning with his hands during benching to someone. So the Chazon Ish said to him, tell me when you daven Shemayna Esrei, You motion with your hands. Now, unfortunately, unfortunately, I've seen worse. I've seen someone in the middle of Shemona Esrei, his phone ring. Hello? Mamish in the middle of Shemona Esrei.
You know what that means. It means your prayers are answered.
It means your wife is calling. That's what it means. But people generally... People generally...
When I first started, I had a guy, he was at the bimbo with his aliyah, answer his phone.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Oy vey. Okay, people generally, b'nei Torah, generally, they will not dare... There is a sensitivity that when you're Oymei Lefnei HaMelech, you don't play games. The Chazon Ish held that Birchas HaMazon is equivalent to Shemoneh Esrei. The same way a person has to be 100% devoted, remove all distractions, and not move around during Shemoneh Esrei, you're Oymei Lefnei HaMelech. When one recites Birchas HaMazon, he is Oymei Lefnei HaMelech.
If I may tell you a very interesting story I heard, that a gadol told a person you should only, maybe school, you should only say Birkas Hamazon mitoich haseif.
A bencher.
So he was on an airplane and he didn't have one, so he called up the gadol or something, and the gadol said to him, he says, I know it by heart, but I don't. He says, what you should do is write it down.
Wow. Fascinating story. I love that story. Wow.
Is it another sort of self-revelation? I think you just discussed that you make sure you wash every day.
Right. That's what I just said. To put yourself in a situation where you mechuyev to say Birchas HaMazon, why do you eat? Is it the pshat, I eat, I want to eat, I'm hungry. Oh, once I ate, no, I have no choice, I have to bench. Or is the pshat, no, I'm going to eat in order to have an opportunity to bench. That is the attitude that one has to have. You have to eat in order to have the opportunity. This is something which needs continuous chizuk. You can never have enough chizuk to remind you of the merit of the chashivus of Birchas HaMazon. To recite Birchas HaMazon with proper dignity. So let's just go through all the halachas of benching very, very quickly. Just a primer, a chazara. First thing that we hear with the zimun. Okay, so what are the basic laws of zimun? When we bench, we recite. There are three people under the best conditions. You have three people, and you bench with zimun. Now zimun, there are two different types of zimun. So we'll go through very quickly. Sometimes a person has an obligation. This, people don't know this, don't appreciate this. There are two different types of zimun. Sometimes a person is mechuyev to bench with zimun, and sometimes he's not mechuyev. But you can if you wish. If a person, here are the rules of chiyev. If a person, three people, begin a meal together, or they end together at the same table, and two of those people are eating bread, then they have an obligation to recite Zimun. Rabbi Sain Nivarech, Yishem Hashem Baruch Me'atav Yerlom, Bereshus. The main part of Zimun is just really the words, Nivarech Shechalnu Misheloi. One of the three makes that statement, and the others respond, Baruch Shechalnu Misheloi Uvituvo Chayinu. And then the person responds, Baruch Shachal Mishlo Uvituvo Chayinu Baruchu Uvaruch Shmo. We'll go there in a second. Before we get to the details, is there a chiv to have zimun, or is there not a chiv to have zimun? So the rule is, if three people are together, they have to be at the same table. If they're in the same room, it's not enough. They have to be at the same table. And they have to either begin together, or one guy comes in now, one guy comes in later. They end at the same time. If they begin at the same time, or they end at the same time, no one is allowed to leave until they recite Zimun. There is an obligation. It's not a nice thing to do. I'm busy. I got to catch a train. Got to catch a bus. I got to go somewhere. Well, you got a big problem, because you now are mechuyev to recite Zimun. Three people at the same table start together, or they end together. By default, we'll discuss some exceptions, they're mechuyev to recite Zimun. Two of them must have eaten bread. Okay, not only bread, a kazayis. Okay, let's talk, let's say a kazayis of, they have to have bread. And I guess it means they have also, they ate at least a kazayis of food, including bread. The third person does not need to have eaten bread. And the truth is, he does not even need to have eaten anything, but he needs to at least drink something. At least drink something. The third person has to be toyeim something. Lav dafka bread, lav dafka even a kazayis. He has to be toyeim something. Again, two bread, one person something. And again, the same table, they begin together or they end together. There, no one is allowed to leave until the Zimun is recited.
Drink
was also good. He says here, Beferish, a drink is also good. And there's a difference, though. Now, that's when it comes to three people. When it comes to 10 people, it's a little more complicated. When it comes to 10 people, if you want to say, Baruch Elokeinu, Shochalnu Mishlo, the halach is 7 of the 3 must have eaten bread. 7. The other 3, a drink is not enough. They have to have eaten something. I think he says some say even at least the mezoinus. I think only if Sardin maybe hold the mezoinus, but that drinking is not sufficient. When it comes to saying Elokeinu, Hashem's name, when there are 10 people, the same conditions. One table, they begin together or they end together. 7 of them must have eaten bread, and the other 3 must have eaten a kezayis of food. A drink is not enough, and eating less than a kezayis is not enough in order to participate in saying Hashem's name. 3 people, the third person doesn't need to eat a kezayis and doesn't need to eat solid food. He needs to drink something. Water is not enough. You have to drink some flavored, some drink that's choshev, with the exception of water. So 3 people, 2 must eat bread, the third person can drink, even a small amount, but he has to drink something that is choshev. If you want to say Elokeinu, you need 10 people, 7 of which must eat bread, and the other 3 of a higher standard have to have eaten a kazayis of food, and then you can say Baruch Elokeinu, and you're not allowed to leave, usur to leave. If you're leaving, you're doing an aveira. What happens if a person knows he's coming to a wedding, and he's sitting down at a table, and there are 2 people there, and they're starting together, and he wants to leave right away? So then Rav Moshe says, in order not to be in violation, of not reciting Zimun, you make a tenai before you begin the meal. I'm hereby making a statement. Ani lo yichaver. I'm not your friends. You can sit on the same table. I don't want to be part of you, so I should be obligated in Zimun. You have to have explicit kavana that you don't want to dine with these people. Because once you decide to dine with these people, you're automatically, and you're starting together, or you may finish together, you'll be obligated to recite Zimun, and you make a statement, I don't want to be part of you. Because if you're part of these people, you have an obligation. Now, yeah, well, better. I mean, you can, but you know, you'll never be able to be chayif. Let's say a person comes and they don't start together, they don't eat, leave together. Yeah, let's say there's 2 people eating bread, and you sit down and you start to eat. And so you did not start at the same time, and you want to leave now, and so you didn't start at the same time, and you did not finish at the same time. You're not obligated. There's no chiyuv. If 2 people eating bread, and I come in the middle of the main course, and I sit down now and I begin to eat. I didn't start with them. I started later, and now I'm ready to leave. These guys, they're not going nowhere. They're staying until dessert. And I'm leaving right now. No problem. Even though there are 3 people, 2 of which ate bread, and it's the same table, because you did not start with them, and you did not end with them, you have no chiyuv. Gesunde, hey, bench and leave. If you want to, you can. It's a mitzvah to do Zimun, but it's not an obligation. You have to differentiate, it's a very important point that he makes, to differentiate between a time when Zimun is an obligation versus where zimun is a mitzvah, but it's not an obligation.
But a wedding, not everyone washes at the same time.
Exactly. So a wedding is very complicated because, first of all, at a wedding, you're not sitting at the same table. At the wedding, you're sitting, by a wedding, the question is, a wedding, do you look at each table to be separately, or do you look at everyone in the room to be together? So it all depends. He says, basically, it all depends. Generally, by a wedding, you would assume that everyone is together. But you see, that's not necessarily the case all the time.
Bris,
same thing. It's the same thing. Is everyone together? Pashas is everyone is together, even though you're sitting at different tables. The only reason why everyone is at a different table is because it's just not practical. The din of a single table is a critical rule. Single table. Whenever you go to a big event, you cannot possibly fit everyone at the same table, so you have to break up into different tables. So how does that affect the halacha when you break down different tables? So if it's only reason why everyone is sitting at a different table is because it's just not practical, then being at a different table does not prevent you from joining with the other people. And you're right, you got a problem then. Because since in the room by a wedding there are going to be 10 people who have washed,
and
you're all starting together, and the only reason why you're sitting at different tables is because it's not practical, so then it comes out that you have an obligation, you're not allowed to leave. I started together the meal pretty much at the same time. There are 10 people in the room. We're not at the same table. I'm not staying here to the end of the wedding until they recite Birchas HaMazon. I have to go to work tomorrow. I can't stay past 10 o'clock. But you're not allowed to. This is a chiyuv. It's a big, big problem. And Rav Moshe says that when you sit down, you have to say, I'm not staying to the end. I don't want to join this meal as a participant of the meal, because once you do that and you sit down at the beginning of the meal, then you automatically have an obligation. So maybe
what
you...
What also helps even more to that is to make sure you wash before anybody comes to the table.
Excellent. Or wash later. Go daven Myra first. Don't start together. Right. Don't start. But then he discusses what exactly is called starting together, what is called not starting together. You know, you go to a wedding, so pretty much, you're going to go say 5 minutes, it's not called, of course it's called starting together. So that becomes a problem.
A lot of times for weddings, they announce benching, and they all go to sit down next to one table. That's the table, not your other table.
Okay, but it depends where you eat. It doesn't really depend where you bench. It depends where you eat. The chiyuv zimun begins in the location where you eat. When you eat. Benching is another issue. Now, another very important halacha, your person must bench in the same place where he eats. You're not allowed to leave. You're in the same room. You can be in the same room. You have to see the location. What happens if a person accidentally forgets to bench? He leaves. He goes home. You go to a wedding. You wash. Somehow you just forgot to bench. And you go home. What's the halacha? Get back in the car. Get back in the car and go back. You mechuyev mamish to go back to the location where you ate. If you can't possibly go back, b'di'evad, you can bench. You can bench in a different location where it is impossible to go back. But wherever it's possible to go back, a person should go back. Where it's just not possible, you are b'di'evad, allowed and mechuyev to bench in a new location. The ideal thing to do in that situation, person, let's say in that case, a person he comes to a wedding and he washes, forgets the bench. He goes home. It's 12 o'clock at night. It's less than 72 minutes since he last ate. So what he should do is he should wash without a bracha. I don't know why without a bracha, but that's what it's without a bracha.
It's the washing.
Washing without a bracha.
Make a motzi.
And then you make a birchas hamoitzi, eat a kezayis of bread, and then you bench. Person should eat. The ideal thing would be someone else should make a birchas hamoitzi. The real ideal situation of a person forgets to bench, and you find yourself in a new location, is for you to wash your hands without a bracha, ask someone else to eat bread. What's that noise?
Somebody's phone is playing.
Okay, so someone should wash. You ask someone else to wash, and they'll make a bracha, and they'll recite a birchas hamoitzi, and you answer amen to their birchas hamoitzi, and then you eat some more bread.
It's a violation
It doesn't. What do you mean vada shinu makom? You need.
You need to make another bracha. Why is it in the reality?
That's what he says. He says if someone else would make the birchas hamoitzi, it would be even better. It could be that not everyone agrees that since you have not yet benched, your first bracha is still chal. If there's no one else to make the bracha for you, you can make your own birchas hamoitzi, and then let's say you don't have bread, you come home, there's no bread in the house. Then it doesn't matter, you can still recite birchas hamazon in a different location. It is not ideal. L'chatchila, you should go back to the location where you washed. If you cannot do that, the next thing to do is, wherever you find yourself, is to wash your hands without a birchas netilas yodayim, and then to make another birchas hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, eat a kezayis of bread in the new location, and then recite birchas hamazon. If you don't have in the new location bread, then you can recite birchas hamazon there, even though you're not in your original location. Okay, now...
The Gemara said very simply that...
Okay, it's machloi, but you have to do Shulchan Aruch. Okay, I'm just.
Right,
Shammai
Es Hillel. If you forgot your wallet, would you go back? And of course, yes. And Hillel says, you got me, and that's it. But nevertheless, we fasken like Hillel.
Okay, so you have to go back, but he says that if you cannot possibly go back, you still mechuyev to recite Birchas Hamazon in your new location. Okay, now when it comes to before the person benches, just running around doing halachas. Now, but how do you bench? So lichatchila, the proper way to bench is the same way you daven. Whatever garments you wear for davening should be the same garments you wear for benching, except for the gartel. There's no din wearing a gartel for benching. You know anyone who wears a gartel for benching? I never heard of that. People who wear a gartel for davening, did you ever hear them put on a gartel for benching? I never. You heard such a thing?
Yeah.
For benching? They put on a garotel?
Well, it's
a whole day.
It's in the pocket. They
for benching, they put on a garotel? I never heard of such a thing. What? Put on a garotel? I never heard of this. I heard of a story where official Schachter, he went to visit someone in the hospital, and there was a marathon in Manhattan on 2nd Avenue right in front of the hospital. So he asked the police, I got to get across the street. So the police guy says, you're not going nowhere. There's a marathon here. There's no way in the world you can cross the street. So I got to get across the street. The only thing you can do is, I'll let you in, and you run. You run with the people in the marathon. And as you run, you'll shift over to the other side of the gutter. It's a big street there. And you'll be on the other side. But you just can't go across. They're going to knock you over because everyone is running. So you run with them. So he said, what did I do? I pushed my hat down very tight. I took out my gartel. I wrapped my gartel around my bekesha, and I ran.
No, and he said he runs him before that.
You put on your gartel to put on the gartel for the marathon.
And then he walked back a half a mile because he got...
Right, he did. That's right.
When I had Rabbi Tendel of Shalom, he said one morning that too many Hasidim wear their gartel a little too tight, they got gangrene.
Okay, now how do you bench? The laws of benching are you have to bench sitting down. You're not allowed to bench standing up. Number two, bench, you're supposed to wear the same garments you would wear for davening is what you wear for benching. If a person davens with a hat and a jacket, you're supposed to put on a hat and jacket for benching. Okay, whatever you wear for benching. Some people for davening, they don't wear a hat and jacket, so fine. But whatever you ordinarily wear for davening is what you're supposed to wear for benching. You're supposed to bench sitting down in the same location, You're supposed to have kavana before you begin benching that this is a mitzvah deraisa. Have kavana to mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of yachalta v'savatu v'erachta es Hashem elokecha. Some people even, they say the l'shem yichud, and it says over here in the kaf achayim, I don't know why, is that you're supposed to, this is from the sardim, don't forget to bench with simcha, with joy, and you should of course bench from a bencher, And what else does it mention from a bencha? Here it says, I'm jumping back and forth over here. Okay. There are more important things. There are more things I've got. Okay. Number one, you're supposed to have on the table when you bench food. Piece of bread, not crumbs. Crumbs is only a bidyevet. Yashir mehalechem al hashulchan kishimavarech. Shiyinikor lakol shemavarechin lahashem al chasa vituvai. The ain die bipeirurim kitanim meoid. You're supposed to leave on the table a small piece of bread, a small piece of food, so that it should be noticeable that you're thanking Hashem for the food that you have eaten. You're satisfied. You're showing you're satisfied that you're leaving over. You're supposed to leave a small piece of food on the table. Let's say there's nothing. You've eaten everything up. Go into the kitchen and find something to bring onto the table.
But
there
the
should.
Days, they cleared away the table.
Not good. That's
the
not the halacha.
They cleared away the whole table.
They took away the whole table. I don't know what to say. It says here, you're setting over here, what it says in Shulchan Aruch Kupei, Siman Beis, in the Mishnah Berurah, you're supposed to leave on the table mamish food. You're supposed to leave on the bread table food, and not just crumbs. And by the way, you should not bring a complete loaf of bread. Don't put on the table a complete loaf of bread, the Mishnah Berurah says, because that's the minig of Avodah Zarah. By the Goyim, when they would thank their gods, they would put on the table a complete loaf of bread. God, it says there, it says a pasuk, I don't remember the pasuk, that is not there. So therefore, it's very precise. When you bench, you should leave on the table a piece of bread, not crumbs, and not a complete loaf. Crumbs is not choshuv. A complete loaf is the meaning of the goyim. It's kukos ha'amim. But a piece of bread, that is the tsura of how one benches. You're not supposed to have on the table any knives. Or at least if there are knives, to cover the knife. Why? Because when you come to Uvenei Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, there was a maisa shehoyoy person out of the tsar of the Churban Yerushalayim. He stabbed himself. Today, you don't see that happening today. You never see a person would pick up the knife and stab themselves over the Churban Yerushalayim, but it's a very powerful limud musar. This is what we should be. It's a very nice reminder. When you take away the knife, you say to yourself, I really should have the tsar of the Churban Yerushalayim. I should have the tsar. And I should be a sakana to leave the knife on the table. I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with that. Stab someone else? Someone else? It says stab yourself. You stab yourself, life is not worth living. Come Rabba, Shachti Rab Zera. That was the Purim Isa. That was the Purim Isa. Rabba Rab Zera. Come Rabba, Shachti Rab Zera. The knife on Shabbos? I'm not familiar with that.
But that's why the Hasidim have the folding knife, so it's a cover.
He doesn't make that distinction over here. I never heard that before. Okay, I don't know. It doesn't make that distinction over here. He says that you're not supposed to have the knife. No, you're right, Baruch, I didn't pay attention. You're right, Baruch is correct. I don't know, Bedavka. He says, Nayhagin b'moys ha'choil. You're correct. During the y'moys ha'choil, l'chasoy sasakin b'shas b'ruchas ha'mozen. Oil le'hasiroy me'ashulchan. Okay, you're right. It says over here, Beferish, only during the weekday. He's saying on Shabbos, Bedavka to have it, and Bedavka to have it? Bedavka? Why Bedavka? Ich weiß nicht. Okay. But during the weekday, to take it away because the person may come to stab himself. And you say, Al Naras Bavel. Fine. Now, this is a very important, halacha. This is never in halacha.
He doesn't bring down a reason also for a whole piece versus because you're supposed to leave food on the table in case an ani comes in. So you would give him. So it's got to be something crush. You can't leave the food.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's on a different time.
You don't leave a whole one. Because
a whole Avodah Zara, you're not going to give your ani. Okay, we have a lot of chidushim. Rav Kalman said it's because of Yechalta V'Savata. He said the reason why you leave over a piece is to show that you're leaving over it. I'm so satisfied. Yechalta V'Savata. You're saying in case an ani comes in, you should have bread ready to give the poor person. A full loaf of bread, I told you over here, it says because this is the meaning of Avodah Zara. You're saying is if an ani comes in, you're not going to give him a full loaf of bread. So the B'davka don't have a full loaf of bread. Okay, ayin panim l'toira. But there should be a piece of bread on the table. There should not be during the weekday a knife. not crumbs, not a full loaf of bread. You're supposed to be sitting, and the knives are supposed to be covered. Now, this is another very important halacha. If a person is thirsty, this is a important halacha, and another halacha. Before you recite Birchas Hamazon, you should ask yourself. A person should ask, "Am I thirsty?" And if you find that you are thirsty, you should not bench until you quench your thirst. Because according to some of the Rishonim, the Chi of Daraisa, Yachalta V'Savatu V'Rachta, is only if you're not thirsty. Just because you may be full, I've eaten enough carbohydrates, and my consumption of solids is sufficient. V'Yachalta V'Savatu, if you are still thirsty, you should not bench, you should upgrade your Birchas HaMazon from a Derabanan to a Deraisa by drinking anything to quench your thirst, so it should be a Deraisa. I'll read you what it says, in Tzomei Lishtois Lifnei Birchas HaMazon Toiv. It is ideal sheyishte koidim kidei sheyischayev beBirchas HaMazon lechol hadeyos. Who says this? The Mishnah Berurah says this. He kissim kufayin alid. And he says, Sheladas HaMordechai, one of the early Rishonim, the Mordechai, Ein Chiv Me'atayra Im Tzomei. There's no Chiv Me'atayra if you're thirsty to bench. It's only a Midrabanan. So therefore, it is an ideal thing to upgrade. Okay, now by the way, also, of course, okay, there are different opinions about how much. Let's not get into that. Okay, these are the basic ideas. And of course, it goes down to the person not delay. The Birchas HaMazon, there should be no hefsek in the Birchas HaMazon. If a person, by mistake, he talks during Birchas HaMazon, you don't repeat the whole, you don't repeat it. That's what it says here. Lo yavsek b'dibur b'yem sa Birchas HaMazon u'v'diyavet im hefsek eino yechoyzer. Okay, so it says if the person, by mistake, he speaks in the middle of the bracha, I'm assuming he means in the middle of the bracha, you do not repeat the bracha. You just continue where you left off, and of course, in between the three main brachos of Hazan and Noidelcha and Yerushalayim Rachimna, those are the three main brachos, and the fourth bracha Hatoyva Hametiv was added later on. Okay, so these are the basic halachos of Birchas HaMazon. Before you recite Birchas HaMazon, what else? There is something called Mayim Acharonim. Mayim Acharonim is not only for Shabbos. Mayim Acharonim is every time you bench. Now most people are makbid on Mayim Acharonim. How much water do you need for Mayim Acharonim? The Vilna Gaon says you need a revius. No difference than Netilas Yodayim. Does not appear to be the minug by most people. But why do you have Mayim Acharonim? Because there might be salt. And in the salt that you're using on your table, there might be a kernel, a granule of melach sedoimis that is poisonous. Today, many poskim say there's no such thing as melach sedoimis, not even a mashu, even Tam Chazal, there was no melach sedoimis. The concern Tam Chazal was there might be mixed into your salt one granule of melach sedoimis, and that can be a sakana. Today, there's not going to be mixed into your salt even a mashu husheba mashu melach sedaimis, and that's why many say that bismanazet it's not nageya. There's no need to wash mayim acharonim. However, the Chazal only gave for mayim for the mitzvahs only some of the reasons. They don't give you all of the reasons, and some of course some hold that a person should always wash mayim acharonim. One thing is for sure that if your hands are dirty, you should not bench until you clean your hands. That is a davar pashut. It's not bakovdik to bench if your hands are dirty. That's not a way to bench. Noshim, many will tell you that noshim were never mekabel upon themselves the minug of mayim acharonim. They do not need to wash mayim acharonim. Others will say the reason why they do not need is practical reason, because men are slobs and they touch the food with their bare hands. Women, they don't touch the food with their hands. They use utensils, eating utensils, so they never come in contact with the food itself. Therefore, their hands are always clean, and that's why they do not need. But the truth is, women also, there's nothing wrong if women would wash mayim acharonim.
Everyone used their hands before they started using forks. Forks is a later invention.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Screw.
There was a story that a man went onto the market after eating and he had on the hands some food. And now a thief went home to his home and wanted to go in. And the wife asked Simon, he says, oh,
your husband had bread.
Your husband ate this and this. He sent me. So he brought him into the home.
Wait, what do you do?
Your husband had glimpses in the morning.
Oh, right. Because of the residue that was on the okay. All right, now this is another interesting thing. Is Zimun, the left out going just going back and forth. Zimun, are women chayiv in Zimun? And the answer is yes. Women have an obligation. Now there is a minig. The Mishnah with the minig is that women maker hadin. Women could even be mitzoref to a Zimun. You need three people. Two of which must eat bread, and the third person can eat whatever he wants. So you have at your table a husband, a wife, and a third person. Me'ikor hadin, you have zimun. The minug is, it's a minug, that women do not combine, because of tznius, women do not join to make the minimum number of people in order to recite zimun. So if you have, even though you may have three people, you're not the minig by many people, by most people, that's what Mishnah Berurah says, is if you have three people and one of them is a woman, even in your own family, even your wife, your daughter, who's an adult, you don't do that. You don't go, there's not going to be zimun. However, this is a very, very big but, and people don't follow this, and he makes a big deal about this. If you're sitting at a table, and there are three men, and there's one woman, and they all eat together, the woman who is there has a chiv. We started with this. We started at the beginning. We said there are two different types of zimun. There is a zimun that is a chiv, and a zimun that he calls a mitzvah. If you eat, three people eat at the same table, and they either start together, or they end together, and two of them have eaten a kazayis of bread, and one of them ate or drank anything, then there is a chiyuv. If they didn't start together and they did not end together, then there is no chiyuv. But if they want, one, they're leaving, one person they want, you can do it. You can do it. Kol hakavod, you can do it. The same rule applies to noshim. If a woman is sitting at a table and there are three men, and they start together, and the woman also begins her meal together with these three men, so it is chal upon her an obligation to say Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo. She is not allowed to leave.
But not the first one. She can't.
What? She can't combine. She can't combine. The meaning is what? We said, that's what we said. I said that was what we said. A woman is not going to lead the zim. That's the minig. The minig is a woman cannot be from the quorum. And she's not going to lead. She's not going to be the leader.
You're saying if you have three and it's one of them is a woman, don't do a zim because it's
sneezes. No, right. Correct.
It's
correct.
Yeah.
If there are.
Doesn't matter.
The tznius overrides. Yeah, guess what? That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The tznius overrides the chiyuv. You're right. That's how the koyach. That's how far it goes. Isn't that an incredible limud hamusar and how far it goes of tznius? That it's oiker halacha minug oiker halacha b'shevi al taseh. It's really what it comes down to. What you're saying is absolutely true. If you have three people, a husband and a wife, and a third person. Even a child. So me'ikar adin yechayiv. And yet Chazal, I don't know who you want to call Chazal in this case, the oiker dovar min ha-Torah is zimun deraisa. Some even hold that it's deraisa, three people. A gadul ha-shemiti. V'roim l'shmo yachtov. Yachtov, the makar for zimun. Some will tell you that it's even deraisa. The word yachtov. Yachtov. And there's a chiv of zimun. And the oiker to say Baruch shochalnu misheloi b'sheva al taseh, because it is a breach in tznius. That's right. Alachas kama v'kama ben b'nei shel kal v'chaymer. You can just begin to enumerate all the different types of things that we do, which should not have been, that are not so simple to begin with. Absolutely, that's what comes out. But let's say you have at a dining room table four people, three of which are men, and there's a woman. And the woman sat down to eat together with the men at the table at the same time the men began. They all began together. There is an obligation for her to answer, Baruch she'achalnu mishaloi uvituvo choyinu, no different than the three men. And for her to leave is aser. She's not allowed to leave. Unless an emergency, but it's a serious violation. What we began in the beginning, when you sit down to eat together, and there are three men, two of which have eaten bread, kazayis of bread, there is a chiv, and you're not allowed to leave. That same halacha applies to a woman. So how come women, you see, they're not so makbid on this? I don't know the answer. You'll say that they never had kavanah to sit down. My place, I want to be in the kitchen, I want to serve, I want to attend to the children, I want to go do this. It's like people who go to weddings. You sit down, I'm not staying. I'm telling you now, I'm making a tanai. When I sit down, I'm hungry, I don't want to join the su'udas nisuin because I have to get up early tomorrow morning. I'm just here to chop some food. I don't want to be part of the meal, and therefore it should not be chal upon me a duty to recite Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo. Now, what happens if this happens all the time, and people don't know this, important thing to know this halacha, what happens if you come like for the end of Shal Shuddis, and they're about to bench, and you have eaten nothing. You're coming from Ma'ariv Mitzvah Shabbos, right? Mitzvah Shabbos is coming from Ma'ariv, and you ate nothing, you're done. And now the rabbi, and they're eating shalosh su'udos, and they're finishing, and they're about to bench. And the rabbi says, whoever says, Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo, Nevorech Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo. What do you answer? Oh, boy shesloi. The Rashi Tevois are, boy sheslo, beis, vav, shin, tov, boy shes, lamid, vav. Which are Roshei Tevois, Baruch, that's the Beis, the Vav is, let's say the 10 people, Yafir Hashem's name. If there are 10 people, that's not part of the Roshei Tevois. When there are three, the Roshei Tevois is one of the three people. Beis is Baruch, the Vav is U, Mivoyroch, the Shin is Shemoi, the Tav is Tamid, Lamid Vav, Le'oilam Voed, Baruch, U Mivoyroch, Shemoi, Tamid li'olam voed. If you are at a table where they are now benching and you did not eat anything, you did not drink anything, and they say nivareich she'achalnu mishalo, remember the words, bo'yisheslo, it's a busha to you if you don't know what to do now. In this situation, it's a busha if you don't know what you're supposed to say. And the words Boisheslo is Rosh Etevis, Baruch, Umivarach, Shemoi, Tamid, Le'olam Voed. And if there's a minion and they're saying Elokeinu, so you have to eat Elokeinu, Baruch Elokeinu, Shemoi, Tamid, Le'olam Voed. That is what you do when you have nothing. Now let's go to the Seder. Now what is now the one that makes the bracha? He says, first he begins Rabbi Sani Varech, right? He says in Yiddish, English, Rabbosai, let us praise Hashem. Rabbosai Nevarech. And then you answer, Baruch Hashem HaMevarech Li'olam Voed. Baruch Hashem HaMevarech Li'olam Voed. And then you say, and we're getting all confused over here. You say, Yishe Yishe Hashem Baruch Me'atav Elam Bereshus Menonon Rabbosai, Bereshus Menonon Rabbosai, or Bereshus HaMalabayis. Nevarech She'achalnu mi'sheloi. Everyone answers, Baruch she'achalnu mi'sheloi uvituvo chayinu. Now here's what's important. The one who is benching is supposed to repeat, Baruch she'achalnu mi'sheloi uvituvo chayinu. Everyone is supposed to answer, Amen. Everyone is supposed to answer, Amen. And then, what?
Hashem's name.
Even if you don't say Hashem's name. Even if you don't say Hashem's name. Nochmo. Rabbi Sai Nivarech.
It's late. Let's finish up quickly.
Okay, what is it?
He's supposed to answer
I'm all confused. One second. I'm getting all confused. I'm very, very slow. Let's turn to the benching to do this right. This is something which many people don't do correctly, including me. Okay, so when you start the benching, you say, Rabbosai Nivarech. That's the leader. Everyone responds, Yehi Shem Hashem Nivarech Me'ata V'Ad Olam. Then, the leader repeats, Yehi Shem Hashem Nivarech Me'ata V'Ad Olam, Bereshus Meronon V'Rabbanan Rabbosai Nivarech She'ochalnu Misheloi. That's, now comes the main part. Then everyone says, Baruch She'ochalnu Misheloi Uvituvo Chayinu. And then the Mezamein says, Baruch She'ochalnu Misheloi Uvituvo Chayinu. And in this sefer, if I'm not mistaken, he says that the people should answer Amen to that. Now, there's one thing that's left that people make this mistake, and he makes a big point. The mezamein, let's repeat. So again, Baruch is maskim, but the people in the audience, the participants, when they hear the leader say, Baruch she'achalnu mishaloi uvituvo chayinu, before they begin benching and saying, Baruch ato Hashem, they should say amen to the words, Baruch she'achalnu mishaloi uvituvo chayinu. Then there's one more thing, and that's the mezamein, the one that leads the benching, should say Baruch hu uvaruch shemo. Many people leave that out. Many people leave out that the person who leads the benching after he repeats Baruch she'achalnu mishaloi uvituvo chayinu, the leader only, and that's mamash how the article shows it, the leader only is supposed to say Baruch hu uvaruch shemo. Halacha l'maaseh, the Ashkenazim hold that the leader is supposed to say every single word of the first bracha out loud, slow and clear. And the people who are benching should say along with him quietly the first blessing. Until Hazones HaKol, the leader should recite the words loud. What about Yayin? The minig is if there are three people, you have a Koshal Yayin even in the weekday. People don't do it in the weekday. On Shabbos, certainly, you can have, it's a very nice thing to be Mevorech ala Koshal Yayin. How do you get the Koshal Yayin? When someone ever is Mechabed you with Birchas HaMozoin, the way you receive the cup is you take both hands, and when they give you the cup, you mekabel the cup with both hands. When you receive, when they give you the kohushal, the birchas, you are supposed to receive with two hands, and then you take your right hand. There are different minhagim, but the common thing is you put your right hand on the bottom of the cup, and you bend your fingers and you hold it from the bottom up. You mekabel it with two hands, and you give it over to your right hand on the bottom, and you clench it with your fingers. If it has a stem, it might not be so easy to do that. So then, safety first. Don't get everyone wet if you can't do it with a stem.
You stick the finger between the stem.
Okay, true. That's what it's for, the stem. You put your light like this. When you wash Mayim Achronim, who gets the Mayim Achronim first? The one that's going to lead the benching, if there are less than five, he gets it first. If there are more than five, you give it to the one more, and when you get within range of five, the last five, you give it to the one that's going to bench. All right, we did a few halachas, there are a lot more, but at least we did something. Look in the sitter, in the Birkoin, it has all the laws usually. Just follow what it says in the Birkoin.